You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. My name is Cora Zahn, and now it's time for the Art Journal Show. And in the studio, I have Amanda and
Margaret.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Thank you.
Looking forward to next weekend.
Next weekend is the Open Studios, and both of you have an open studio in that in this the next
Melba.
Weekend.
Yes.
And Melba. It's the Melba Highway. But first of all, tell us what an open studio is, Margaret.
Oh, Cora, it's an opportunity for the public to see how an artist works in her own space or his own space. So it's an experience. And I've been in it since its inception in the Yarra Valley, so I feel a bit of an old hand by now. But it's always something to look forward to, as it forces you to do a bit of a tidy up and to have new work to show, at least.
So it's a work, people are visiting people's artists working studios. This is where you do your work. This is where you create your magic.
Exactly. Yes.
Amanda?
Yes. Well, it's my first year doing it this year. So I'm been very excited and going a little bit off what I normally do with commissions and doing some more work so that people can see more my diversity of animals, because that's what I specialise in. But it does make you sort of try to achieve something for open studios for people to see what you do.
So this is your private places, this is at your homes, and one of the things that's so wonderful about open studios is also that you travel around the Yarra Valley and you see places that you would not normally see. You get to enter into homes that you would not normally have an opportunity to, and both of you have very interesting, lovely, beautiful homes. I know, Margaret, your place is amazing with a gorgeous lookout.
Well, we're very lucky to be high up on a hill with a 180-degree vista. So I think people enjoy that. And our garden started off as a paddock. So since 2003, when we started making the garden, it's really developed and grown and went through the fires and had to be redone even better, really, with proper pathways and now got an espaliered orchard, and it's a more formal garden. But people seem to find it interesting to look at or walk around.
It's absolutely beautiful. And I haven't been to your open studio because this is your first year, Amanda. Yep. But yours is quite special too because it's a family property.
Yeah, we're on a beef cattle farm, so we have horses and cattle all sort of right around the property, or right up to the house. So to me it's a different view, but it's a grassland, and just seeing cattle grazing, and it just has a different lovely feel to it. So
and the home is quite old too.
Well, the original house where my mother lives, the property, we've gone back to 1842 when my family first settled there. So and I'm just living in a weatherboard house that was actually bought down from the Murray, so that's where just done a little renovation, so it's just an old cottage, but it has a good feel.
And so what would people expect to come and to see at your what sort of artwork, like, just let people know?
Well, I'm a pencil drawer, but I did study and have done a Bachelor of Arts Fine Art, where I was rather like Margaret. I was a printmaker, specialising in lino cuts and etchings and lithographs. So, I've loved doing all of that. But with my portraits of horses, I've just been doing pencil work because that way I can get the fine detail and create someone's horse that looks like their horse. So that's been the direction I've gone down. But I do love all sorts, and I love printmaking, and I love Margaret's work, and she actually inspired me to then do this myself. So
And Margaret?
Well, I think you're in for an exciting time when you visit Amanda's studio. And what she's got on show is just beautiful. If you go to Art at Linden Gate and also at the Memo. Well,
you're quite a you have many hats when it comes to art, don't you?
At the moment, I've been doing lots of works on paper. From mid-May to mid-July, we were in Ireland, and I had the opportunity to exhibit there. So I had to produce lots of work to fill a wall within about 5 weeks. So I could only work on paper, really. So that's what I've been doing. And it's been such fun doing mixed media with watercolour, gouache, charcoal and ink. Drawing with ink and a brush is the most sublime experience. So that is my passion at the moment.
Wonderful. It's exciting. You're listening to Yarraville FM 99.1. This is the Art Journal Show, and in this studio I have Amanda and Margaret. And we're talking about Open Studios, which is coming up on the 14th?
12th and 13th.
Thank you. The 12th and 13th of October, which is not this weekend, but the following weekend. It's going to be very exciting. There's a number of studios open to go and visit and see how artists create their magic in their studios. And Margaret, you've been exploring or getting passionate about mixed media lately.
I have. And I suppose it was inspired by work I saw 2 years ago in Ireland when we were there. And an artist was, it was a life drawing exhibition, and he'd used newspaper and charcoal. But I've gone beyond that, and I've been sourcing old books and ripping them up or carefully tearing out pages and finding relevant stories or backgrounds to paste onto either, well, mostly paper, but sometimes onto canvas, and working on top of that in mixed media. And to me, it sort of suggests age and depth. So that's really why I went down that path.
And you said you're using ink to draw with now.
Yes, just black Indian ink and various brushes, and it's such a sensual line that's achieved using the various brushes. And
so my curiosity, because I know working with ink, it's just like once you put it down, that's it, it's
exactly.
done. It's you know, it's this, you know, you've got to be confident.
You do.
So if you like gluing down a number of papers and then ink drawing over the top of that, so you must be like. You can imagine, Amanda.
Well, I suppose you just have to feel it and let it go, wouldn't you? Like,
you
do. Because you can't be stiff with
them. No, that's the thing, and there's no going back. No. And so I usually, well, depending, I might start off in watercolour, but I never draw in pencil or anything like that. It's either directly in ink or with watercolour. It's always with a brush. So it is what it is. And if it's skew whiff or whatever, that's fine.
Yes, of course. It's a lively kind of approach. Mm. So with, do you have an idea, though, of what you're going? So you've got, I'm just curious about your process.
If I were to do a eucalyptus tree, for instance, I'd look for an ancient book, and I have all these things available, and I'd paste a book with some reference to trees or Australian trees or preferably gum trees, and so that would be the basis, and then I would compose on top of that.
Oh, it sounds so much fun.
And allow bits to show through, so it just adds another dimension
Absolutely.
To the story.
It does. It sounds really exciting, beautiful, fun. How do you feel about tearing those old books up?
First of all, I felt a bit immoral, but now I feel I'm giving them a new life, so I feel it's perfectly legitimate.
It's a funny thing, though, isn't it? Even to tear up an old book.
Well, these were books that were in op shops, and who knows what they were going to be destined for. So I thought, well, at least I am spreading them around, and I'm giving them a new life.
But I think it's funny that you did think you were felt like, well, it's a bit immoral
yes,
at first.
I did.
What is that, do you think?
Well, like, They're very special books, and they would have been expensive in their day. And they're on beautiful paper, and the illustrations are exquisite as well. So I do have a reverence and respect for the originators of the book.
I know, look, it's just something that happens when you work with collage and you work with materials such as old books. You do have this feeling like, oh, can I do this? But I'm so pleased that you're running with it and enjoying it and finding.
Yes, it's been very inspiring. And so it really helps me to concentrate in all sorts of directions, because I do figurative work on there. It can be buildings or fauna and flora. It doesn't matter. But if I can find an appropriate book to rip up or paste, well, then it makes it more meaningful.
So do you go, I imagine you must find the book first.
I've got lots. I've been collecting.
And then you'll say, okay, now I've got this book on buildings or trees and...
Or children's illustrations and stories, early childhood stories, that sort of thing.
And tell us, you said that you had 5 weeks to fill
an
exhibition. Where did you work?
Well, Richard's, my husband's cousin, runs an arts festival in Ireland, the Tracton Arts and Music Festival in County Cork. So we rented a place in Myrtleville on the coast, not far from there, for 5 weeks. So I had 5 weeks to get stuck in. So I'd gone to Dublin initially, bought all the art materials, and we were staying in such an exciting, inspiring 300 to 400-year-old building. So that really inspired me to get stuck in. I didn't need to go outside when the weather was inclement. I could paint day and night if I wanted to. So that's what I did.
Sounds like a wonderful adventure. How do you feel? I'm just asking questions that come to my mind. When you've travelled that far and you're spending now a lot of time indoors painting or drawing, do you feel like, I should be out there?
Oh, it was a balance. I didn't only do that. No, we went for walks. We went away for days on end. We did things. So, no, it wasn't just all art.
But you could imagine that someone might choose to think, I'm far away from everything. Yes. I can just concentrate.
Well, it really does have that effect, because you don't have all the local demands of housework and all that. We lived very simply. So it was ideal. So it was really my little art residency.
Exactly. Sounds wonderful. Can't wait to see what you... You'll have some of the pieces that you made?
I do. I will. I have a few left. I do.
And we can go and see them at the Open Studio, not this weekend, but the following.
Oh, yes, because I've got a couple at Art at Lindengate.
You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. In the studio, I have Margaret and Amanda, who are two wonderful artists who have their studios open on the 12th and 13th of October, which is not this weekend, but the following weekend. There's a number of art studios open for you to visit. It's free. You can pick up maps. Where can you pick up maps?
Oh, there are maps in various locations. Tarawarra Museum of Art is one. And there are various outlets in Yarra Glen. I'm just thinking. Anita's Delicious is one.
And so Art at Lindengate, where the Melba Group, which is our group, who have their exhibition open...
At the moment?
Yes.
So at the moment. So that's the area that you all have a piece in?
Yes, because she's... Reggie's gallery is only showing the Melba section. So we've each got two pieces in, because we're a smaller group.
How many studios do you know are in this?
There are seven actual group, six artists and then one group, which is the Steels Creek group of artists. So there's a collection of artists there. So
I think there's about 10 artists in that group.
Could be. Yes, it's quite a large they've got the whole community centre and they've each got their location there.
What's so great about Open Studios at the moment is that once upon a time, there was just one weekend for Open Studios and you had to travel from Coldstream or even Chernside Park,
I think, Warburton.
To Warburton.
It was impossible.
Out to Steeles Creek, Healesville. So now it's been separated into three different areas.
Yes.
We've already had the Healesville area. Now we've got the Melba Highway Open Studios, which I think does come from
Wonga Park to roughly Yarra Glen.
Yes, and Steeles Creek.
And Steeles Creek.
Even Dixon's Creek, where Ted Seacombe is.
Yeah, so it's much more doable when it's been divided that way. So you can visit every studio on the map. Have a look. There's two places to have a look at artwork. There's the Memo.
Yes.
Which has got work from everybody.
That's right.
There's maps there. And then, of course, Reggie's studio.
And Art at Linden Gate Art on the Yarra Glen Healesville Road.
So you can go and have a look and see what, you know, who you like and who you'd like to visit. That can be the first place, perhaps,
yes,
to stop.
It's a good spot to start from.
Mm. One of the exciting developments in Healesville in the Yarra Valley is Yarva, and you're both a part of this group and the new exhibition space. You're involved in that. Tell us how you feel about this new development.
Well, I think it's the best thing that's happened to the whole Yarra Valley, and to have a dedicated home space is sublime, because we really can meet at one location, and it's so thrilling to be part of it, and everyone has worked so hard to make it all happen. So we are very grateful for that initial grant or bequest, and there's such a lot of hard work happening in the background to get it off the ground, and there have been some incredible exhibitions, and I think Harley Manifold has just started his. And there's a lot of support from Tarawarra Museum of Art as well. And they seem to promote each other, which has been such a huge advantage.
It is wonderful, isn't it? How have you liked it, Amanda?
Well, it's given me an opportunity to come and meet, being sort of new to seeing other artists. It's given me a place to go. There've been meetings and, they have catch-ups and... it's lovely, and to see exhibitions is just exactly what I'd like to be involved with. So,
and the other exciting aspect is the workshops that they hold, because we as artists can offer our services in a number of areas. So I have had the privilege of giving two workshops, and you just don't know where these things lead you. It's been really, really exciting.
It's very exciting indeed. And there's also the evenings where they're called talk shops.
Yes, and life drawing on Wednesday nights too. That's another initiative.
That's been quite unusual too, apparently, I've heard. Have you been along to many of those?
I've only been to one, and I really should make a point of attending more, because I do life drawing elsewhere.
With that one, it's people clothed and also
yes
nude,
yes,
so a mix between the two of them. So it's a bit of a
think they even had a fireman.
They had a fireman.
So
I think they've had a fireman, they've had a dancer, they've had a musician.
Mm.
So obviously those people would clothed. it's not like he's a fireman.
Not like the calendars.
That would be.
But it's funny, when you're the artist, there might as well be a still life or a bottle or something. You're just drawing shapes. So really is irrelevant whether they're dressed or not.
You have been doing life drawing for a very long time.
How long
around about? It's a practice of yours.
It is a practice of mine, and I taught life drawing for quite a few years. So it's just something I love to do. It's a great discipline. But I do really think that when you're looking at whatever's in front of you, it's a series of shapes and textures and tones, and really whether they're dressed or not,
it doesn't matter. No, not at all. It is just the subject that's maybe a little bit more interesting.
Yes.
for some people, as opposed to, you know, you could just, like you said, set some flowers and fruit in front
exactly.
of you.
Mm.
What is it that you like about life drawing, Margaret? Is it? I know that often they're timed.
They are, and that I think is an extremely valuable aspect, because you want to start off with very quick drawings. It could be a minute, could be less, and sometimes you have moving drawings, and you've really got to look and sort of and place your marks. And then so you start off with perhaps 1 minute poses, 2 minute poses, up to 5 minute, 10 minute, and 20 is usually the average length, because they're broken down into 20 minute sections, and then the model has a break. I mean, that's a decreed rule.
Mm, it is. And what do you think, you know, the benefit of the 1 minute poses, 2 minute poses, like how do you, is it like the hand eye coordination?
Absolutely. It is, and it's a really good discipline. It forces you to look, and you're looking at, you know, shapes, both negative and positive, and composition and movement. And in fact, it just becomes instinctive, and you just place marks on the paper. And sometimes it's good to work with your other hand as well, because that frees you. So it's just something that helps with your other drawing and with observation.
When you do yours, what do you start with? Do you do, like, you know, do you have places that you begin with as a rule? Like, are you have a habit of beginning anywhere in particular when you do a life drawing?
I suppose I'll look at the timing and the pose and what faces me and what I can realistically achieve on the paper. But I've made mistakes before where I've gone for the head, and then the head becomes too big, and then you can't fit the whole torso in or body. And so if I'm going to do the whole figure, I'll often go to the center and then build from there.
Okay. Center. So what? So you may be the back?
Yes. Or, and I always like to find foreshortened poses if I can. It's more challenging, but more interesting.
Mm. Explain foreshortening to the people who don't know who don't know art.
Well, if you were looking at somebody facing you and they were sitting and their feet were towards you, the feet would be larger than you'd expect, obviously, because they're closer. So everything's about proportion. And it is a challenge. But when you've overcome that, it's very satisfying.
I think it's kind of like public speaking. Once you get used to public speaking, you can start to develop yourself. But that initial fear of not being able to do it gets in the way. So there would be people, I imagine, who are a bit nervous of coming in and doing life drawing, because they might think, I'm going to make a bad drawing.
And it doesn't matter. There's no bad drawing. It's just drawing. And sometimes they work, sometimes they don't, and it really doesn't matter. It's just the joy of drawing and the importance of doing it.
Just the engaging with that
exactly.
movement.
Yes.
I read somewhere something about how a drawing is like an expression made permanent, you know, a gesture made permanent.
Yes. And there are various ways of drawing. You know, you could do gestural drawing, or you could, it all depends on the technique.
Do you do any, have you done much life drawing, Amanda?
I've done a fair bit.
Oh, okay.
Yep, so at school I did life drawing and did art actually, for VCE, so it was one of my, and then at art college I did 3 years of life drawing, so I've
once a week or more regularly than that?
Oh, no, you do it quite virtually every, you know, 3 or 4 times a week.
So oh, isn't that fantastic?
So, No, I really, really enjoyed it, and it's very different to what I do now, but I actually really love that free, just getting the feel and the different line and the expression just in a line, and, it's a great thing to do. So.
One of the things I'm thinking, because what you're wanting to do is just really develop that confidence in your eye-hand coordination, in seeing what's in front of you and depicting it. What do you think the difference is? Why is it more exciting to do like a life drawing as opposed to a still life? I mean, for some people. I mean, because literally you could every day just set something up and have a go at drawing it, couldn't you? What's the attraction, do you think, to life drawing as opposed to still life?
People have expression, and that's really what you're capturing. And the pose would even suggest how they're feeling. So it's not just the facial expression, it's the whole body gesture.
So it's emotion.
It is an emotional response.
So I don't know much about this, but do you know if the models come in to show you an emotion, or is it just you looking for it?
You can suggest a pose. A lot of them would have their regular poses as such, or no ones which seem to be that work. But they do convey an expression by the way they pose. Yes.
It makes me think of some paintings that I can't think of the artist's name, but there's the ones where the women are like in a field.
Yes.
And they're just stooped over doing something
like
in the
Millet
field.
Millet or one of those.
One of those. But if you think about it, that pose in the environment does have a lot of emotion.
It does. And then for those Van Gogh ones, people in the field or potato eaters or any of his subjects.
I'm in the studio here with Amanda and Margaret, two artists who have open studios happening on the 12th and 13th of October, which is not this weekend but the following. It's on the Melba Highway section. Get along, there's about 7 studios to visit, beautiful artwork to experience. Go and see how the artists create their magic. And Amanda, you do one of the main part. What you do mainly is portraits of horses and dogs and people's pets. But you were talking off air about how important it is to have good source material, to have a good photograph to work from. Tell us a bit about that, and how important it is to get. You know, how are you supposed to create a good piece of art if you don't have a good photo?
No, it's really everything for me to have a good photograph. So a lot of people don't really understand how to get a good photo, but and sort of talking about foreshortening and things which we talked about with Margaret, you really have to be a little bit further back from the subject so that you don't distort, because in my work I'm trying to make it look realistic, so I don't want more the character or the caricature thing where it's foreshortened too much. So if I have I've got a zoom lens, and then I can photograph the animal at the right level so that you can see into the eye, because the eye is very important, but so you don't look down on the subject, which a lot of people will
take a photo from above.
Looking down.
So are you saying, like, if you're going to take a photo that you're going to use to as your source material, you should get level with it?
That's right. Yep.
And
level
then
with the head.
Level with the head. So if you imagine a dog, you won't be taking a photo like, you know, you're going to be like about another, you know, I was about to talk in feet in a minute. Show my age. But just say half a meter. If you were, you'd be taller, that much taller.
Yeah,
so get down, right down.
Yeah, I either kneel or crouch down and sort of get further back from the animal. And
so when you're talking about further back, like how far do you reckon?
You'd probably want 5 to 10 metres, just depending.
See, that's a decent, who would know that?
Yeah, a lot of people will be, you know, 1 or 2 metres away and just go down on the animal, and then you do get that distortion.
So 5 to 10 metres away with a zoom lens so you can capture the look on the eye. That's very specific in terms of how to take a photo that
and
you would use.
Generally not really in full sunlight, because that also creates the dog. If you're talking about a dog, it'll squint and get a black eye, whereas if you have slightly overcast, the grey clouds will reflect in the eye and give you a sort of the white, instead of a white pinpoint, it'll be half sort of grey and get more life into the animal's eye. But horses need bright sunlight. Yeah, just to for their good shine on their coat to get the different.
So when you do portraits of people's pets, you either take a photo of them or they can supply, but often you've found that most people don't supply the correct photograph.
No, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
I would much rather take the photo myself because I know that way I'm also meeting the animal and I can sort of pick out a good character how it is, but it's not always possible to photograph the animal either. Some have passed away or they're too far away for me to go and photograph them, so I do have to work from people's photos.
Margaret, you've had an experience where someone's given you a photograph that was completely unsuitable.
Well, this wasn't animals, it was children. And it's the same scenario. People need to be on the same level as the child and take a suitable photograph, but also you'd have the distortions if you were too close or too high or whatever. So I've got that very problem at the moment that I'm going to have to rectify.
I wonder though, that's to get a very good likeness of, but perhaps in some sort of artistic fashion, it doesn't matter as much.
Yes.
Is that also
right.
The case?
Some people specialise in actually getting that distortion or the strange look, and you know that's what they're after.
Yes.
But so it really depends on what you're after.
It all depends on what the client wants, I suppose, or the friend.
You'll have a number of portraits of animals to see at your studio.
I will, yes. I've branched off a little bit from just the horses and dogs because of this open studios. And
what are you doing?
I've just done been to the zoo and photographed a number of animals, and zebra, one of my favourites, and I suppose a closer to a horse than so that's one of my pieces in the exhibition at the Gallery Art at Linden Gate.
Fantastic.
And I've done a red deer, which my daughter and I photographed up in the bush, and that was beautiful to go and we've been exploring more, and
lovely
a Highland cow, and so been doing a few different things.
Those Highland cows are popular at the moment.
Yes.
People are loving them. I'm seeing them everywhere. Margaret, I'm just so excited. I'm so excited about this open studio. I mean, I love open studios anyway. Actually, Art Journal really came from me visiting open studios, and I thought, wouldn't it be fantastic to talk to artists here, and get a bit more in-depth information and conversation, tips and hints. It's good, isn't it?
It is. It's wonderful.
You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. We're talking about the open studios, which is happening next weekend, the October the 12th and 13th. There's a website to have a look at, or Facebook.
Facebook, Yarra Valley Arts Open Studios 2019, and you can see the maps and the people that are involved in each section. So this is our section, the Melba Group, which is, coming up in another week.
Fantastic. And what time can they start arriving?
Well, ideally between 10 and 5, because in the past I've had people arrive at 9 when I've been in my PJs, which is not a good look. So much better to arrive at 10.
10 a.m. And that's plenty of time to get around to all 7 studios. And it's wonderful to just travel through the Yarra Valley, make the effort to go all the way down to Steeles Creek and Dixon's Creek. It's worth it. It's really really inspiring. And thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for having us.
You're welcome.